I know more about sports than you, good sir.
Tis to laugh. Dare I say my grandmother could outsport you any day of the week.
Gentlemen, may I borrow your ear for a moment?
But of course!
BetDSI.net is an awesome site where you can play for free and win real cash. Are you a sports nut with a lot of confidence?
Thoroughly.
Maybe you're a casual fan with a flair for the stats.
Guilty!
Put your knowledge to the test and win real cash at BetDSI.net. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it's just another way to enjoy the sport you already love. It's BetDSI.net.
Huzzah!
Jeff Blair has all of the answers, even if you haven't thought of the question yet. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Oh man, I gotta tell you this. Can I say that I got the MLB Network on here in studio? Well, too late, I did. The Caribbean World Series, they got the home run derby. They got a home run derby happening here. Vlad Guerrero in the home run derby. Old Vlad, not young Vlad. Just absolutely crushed this ball. This is like a bucket list. Okay, here we go. Felix Perez won the home run derby. Vladimir Guerrero, who hasn't played ball for like, what, 3 or 4 years, finished third in the home run derby at the Caribbean World Series. This is a bucket list thing for me. I want to go to the Caribbean World Series. Absolute bucket list item. And MLB Network just has a picture of Vladimir Guerrero's son in his Blue Jays jersey. Of course, the Jays signed him as an international free agent last year. He's wearing a Blue Jays jersey. He already looks bigger than Vlad, which is absolutely scary. Anyhow, it is a Jeff Blair Show. So he just happened to come back, and MLB Network was right in the middle of a piece on the Caribbean World Series. There was Vladimir Guerrero. Poof, just like that. It's a great segue for our next guest. John Paul Morosi is the national baseball writer for Fox Sports. And again, want to remind you, tonight the Blue Jays will hold their season's ticket holder fan forum, which is called the leadoff. I've got a column going up in sportsnet.ca in a few minutes. It may be up there right now. Little chat I had with Mark Shapiro yesterday about his approach to free agency and things of that nature. So who says the Jays don't have a leadoff hitter, right? I mean, it's a bad segue. The Blue Jays leadoff season's ticket holder fan forum will be tonight at the Rogers Center. You can catch it on sportsnet.ca starting at 7 o'clock. Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, John Gibbons, and Kevin Pillar. It'll be hosted by Buck Martinez, Dan Shulman, and Ivanka Osmak. And this is an opportunity for Jay season's ticket holders to ask the guys who make the decisions questions that have been gnawing at them. So they don't have to call up the Jeff Blair Show or anybody else. Primetime Sports, Brady and Walker, Dean Blundell and Company. They don't have to call them up. They can talk to Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, or John Gibbons face-to-face. And, however, we are going to take your calls at 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. We'll ask you the question. If you're going to the event tonight, tell me what you want to know from Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins. And if you aren't going, well, tell me what question you would most like them to answer. You've got the general manager, the president. You've got John Gibbons. Or Kevin Pillar's there as well. Maybe you got a question for Kevin Pillar. What question do you most need to have answered at tonight's Fan Forum season's ticket holder event? This guy might as well be a Blue Jay season's ticket holder because he's part of the baseball landscape in the city. John Paul Morosi, the national baseball writer for Fox Sports, joins us. By the way, Mr. Morosi, check your calendar. What is the date?
The date today is February the 4th, my friend.
And you know what that is?
What's that?
That's the beginning of your non-hockey embargo. You cannot tweet about anything related to anything other than baseball from this point on. So no more Carey Price tweets. Well, no more Carey Price. I don't want to hear about Dylan Larkin. Okay. No more hockey tweets.
Okay. Well, now listen. Now I was in a very Canadian mood this morning, as I often am, as the snow was falling here in Michigan, in the great city of Ann Arbor. And I did have a couple hockey thoughts, and of course I know there's great concern about the Habs, certainly in Montreal and their fans across the country. And I just think that of all these reasons that are being pulled out there is why they're struggling so much. The answer is simple. Carey Price isn't playing. They've got the same offensive output this year as they had last year. The difference is the MVP isn't playing. There's your answer. That's the extent of all the Habs analysis I have, and that's probably the extent of all the analysis there should be on that team.
Okay. Let's give me some Blue Jays analysis.
Good.
Let me ask you, all right, I'm going to, because I suggested this of our callers. Okay, you're going to the season ticket holder function time. What question do you have for Mark Shapiro?
Well, here's what I would say. I'll make one request to start things off. Let's not go back to November and worry too much about Alex Anthopoulos. I love Alex Anthopoulos. There's no need to relitigate his departure. He's with the Dodgers now. It's a great situation there for him in L.A., and I think now you've got to look forward. I think that, Jeff, a couple things I would say. Number one, I'd like to know what their plan is with the rotation in terms of if they're still open to adding a major league starter between now and either the beginning of camp or opening day. Maybe how seriously they're going to look at Aaron Sanchez as a starter. Maybe what they see in him that leads them to believe he could be a successful starter. And you alluded to it a couple minutes ago, Jeff, about the leadoff spot. I'm very intrigued by what they want to do there and how maybe we know, obviously, there's some parts of the lineup that are certainly foregone conclusions, but you know, how exactly they view left field, different things like that. I think that I'm curious to hear what their thoughts are about leadoff, left field, and also the timeshare between the first base and DH spots there with Colabello and Smoke. And, of course, we know Encarnacion's going to play. But the way Colabello played down the stretch last year, I'd like to know what they view of him as a potential everyday player for this ball club.
In conversation with John Paul Morosi, national baseball writer for Fox Sports, there's still some free agents out there. Are you surprised that here we are February 4th and we still have some guys out there who, you know, who might be able to help a team?
Yes, I am. I am surprised. And I guess there's also a component too, Jeff, where everything that happens now, and we're now weeks away from the beginning of the new collective bargaining agreement discussions, everything that happens right now, I think, should be and probably is, at least among the league offices and the union offices, viewed through the lens of the CBA and what changes the union wants to make. The reality is you've got three players who can certainly help teams in a major way and deserve, I believe, solid multi-year contracts in Desmond, Fowler, and Gallardo, who do not have contracts in large part because they're tied to draft pick compensation. And I think that the system as it stands now, I understand the way it was conceived was not supposed to be this punitive situation with these free agents, but the reality, Jeff, is that's how it's turned out. It's become a real drag on the market for a handful of players, and I think it has not operated fairly. I wrote it at FoxSports.com this week that any system in which Hector Oliveira with the Dodgers last year gets 6 years and $60 million, and Howie Kendrick from the same team 1 year later with 9 years of Major League experience and a demonstrated Major League Baseball track record gets 2 years and $20 million just because of the draft pick, to me, Jeff, it's not a fair system. So I think this has to get looked at. I think the good thing is MLB and the union know, but they both know that it has to get looked at and changed. And because they're coming at it from that angle, I think, Jeff, I am hopeful that they're going to be able to avoid a labor stoppage here in MLB.
Well, you know, and it's interesting. Your colleague Ken Rosenthal has written about something that I've kind of wondered about, and that's the you know, the system of qualifying offer, which, as he said, it's stacked against low revenue clubs. Is this? I would think that during CBA negotiations, this is something that has to be looked at, doesn't it? Because it would seem to me that this is a relatively simple thing. And maybe I'm being guilty of viewing it as such, but it would seem to me that it could be a relatively simple thing to address.
Well, a couple of things, Jeff. I think the number one, that the owners probably, or at least there are some within the commissioner's office, who would deem the current system to be effective insofar as it has probably lowered and or saved the industry, I don't know how many millions of dollars over the last few years, but certainly there's probably been a savings at least on the spending of free agents. The issue is, Jeff, that there's so much money in the game that money is being pushed to other areas where it's not restricted, such as the Cuban free agents, as I mentioned there in the example with Hector Oliveira. So I think that, yes, it's going to be a key part of the negotiations going forward, and I think they're going to look at ways to alleviate the pressure, because really, Jeff, that's what this is about. It's about either the punitive nature of losing a draft pick or the fact that when you lose the pick, you also lose the signing bonus allocation under what is a pretty hard cap. It's not
right.
It's not hard, but it's pretty hard. And I think that basically that is the issue. Because in the past, if you lost a pick, we saw the Red Sox do this all the time. They would just go above slot to sign a bunch of 18-year-old high school seniors that basically buy them out of their college commitments with huge bonuses later in the draft. So there was a flexibility there where you could sort of blow off that steam, that financial steam, in other areas of the spending. But you can't do that if there's a relatively hard cap on amateur draft spending in the U.S. and Canada and Puerto Rico, and a relatively rigid, I say relatively because you can exceed it still, on the international side, and then there's a draft pick. So there's not really that way for the teams to sort of have that relief of, okay, I can, if I have to give up the pick, I can do X and Y and Z to make my farm system better, and I feel good about that. That's the issue, and it's trapping, as Ken Rosenthal wrote this morning, Jeff, it's trapping especially those lower revenue teams, and as Kenny pointed out in that column, I think it's a very important point. It's not just a situation where the owners are against the players. It's the big market owners against the smaller market owners, and there's a lot of inequities there in that dynamic, which does, as somebody, obviously we all love the game, Jeff. We all want to see labor peace. That's the one thing that makes me worried a little bit, is that maybe the owners group is not going to be unified as to the proper way to do things, because, of course, they have competing constituencies and different ideologies there, big market, small market.
Well, and it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I think we've been, in some ways, we've been kind of lulled, I think, into a false sense of security, because the past couple of labor negotiations have gone so smoothly. God, I mean, one agreement was literally dropped in our lap just after the World Series, and people's response was, God, I didn't even know these guys are really negotiating.
Right.
I think we've been lulled into a false sense of security, because for the longest time, the argument was, well, there's so much money in the system, everybody's making money, everybody's going to be happy. But, I mean, I can remember having someone from the commissioner's office point this out to me 10 years ago, that, the rubber's really going to hit the road when there's so much money in the system that now you have to start tinkering with how do you ensure a more equitable distribution, because now you're going to step in people's feet. Now you're sort of getting down to the really difficult nuts and bolts financial issues and issues like, how do you make the competitive balance system work? How do you make revenue sharing better? Those are really difficult issues that end up costing teams money. And I think we're at that stage now where, yeah, the money's great, things seem to be going pretty well, but you've got to address some of the real nuts and bolts stuff. Like, this to me is going to be a negotiation. It's going to be a lot of lawyers involved. and Tony Clark and, and Helm, the guys at the top, the guys who are negotiating for both sides, I mean, they're going to be the front men. But there's going to be an awful lot of spade work done by lawyers in this one, because this is a nuts and bolts labor negotiation.
Right. And I think as you talk about the labor peace and what has sustained it, listen, this is a really interesting time for the game, and you're exactly right in what you said, because this winter time alone, I think it was MLBTradeRumors.com that had the calculation, more than $2 billion has been guaranteed to free agents this winter time. More than $2 billion. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, Scott Boras, I distinctly remember this, Jeff, at the start of the offseason at the GM meetings, he made the point that, in his opinion at least, and again, it's hard to really pin down these figures and if it's accurate or not, but Scott made the point, as he said, according to his information, the player's share of the revenues has declined considerably, and that it's not as high as it used to be, and that basically the players have to get their money back. It is basically what he's saying, that there's so much money in the game now, the players, in Scott's opinion, and obviously he's biased, but it's nonetheless an opinion of somebody who with a lot of influence in the sport, according to Scott, the players' share has decreased. And so, again, it's difficult to define what that means in this very complicated, intricate media world with advanced media and the network and all the television money and all these other kinds of revenue streams. But again, Scott's point is that the player share is decreased. I have no way of verifying if that's accurate, but if he's correct and if the union believes that, then you could really envision a somewhat contentious conversation, especially when you have veteran players like Desmond, like Fowler, like Gallardo, and like Kendrick up until a few days ago that are unsigned when they have really done the right things. They've had very good careers, and they're maybe not elite players, but they're very good players. And those players are getting caught in the middle and not getting their fair market value, in my opinion. And that, I think, is something that the league has to address if they want to maybe avoid this larger conversation, which could become very contentious, about exactly how this revenue pie of uncertain size is being divvied up.
Very quickly before I let you go, the two free agents that really interest me are Dexter Fowler and Desmond. Where do you see them going? Given the market for outfielders, I'm just stunned that Dexter Fowler doesn't have a job yet.
Me too. I think Fowler, Jeff, I would say the White Sox make a lot of sense. Of course, we know that they are trying to get an outfielder. They tried on Gordon. They tried on Cespedes. I think Fowler is a very, very good fit for the White Sox. I also think Fowler is a very good fit for the Angels, who have a platoon in left field and a lot of questions about when Albert Pujols is going to be back. So that's one spot there, I would say. So Angels or White Sox for Fowler are good fits. With Desmond, reportedly the Rays have some interest. Of course, he lives in the Sarasota area, so that would be a nice spot for him to go. But again, as Ken Rosenthal wrote today, the Rays do not want to give up the pick it's going to cost to get him. So I also think the White Sox, because again, their pick is protected, 10th overall. Top 10 picks are protected from draft pick compensation. The White Sox pick number 10, which puts them in very good position to get either Fowler or Desmond. Of course, they have Tyler Saladino, a very light hitter over at shortstop. So the White Sox could upgrade there with Ian Desmond.
Mr. Morosi, we're going to let you run. No more hockey tweets.
All right. I think I've made my last comment on the absence of Carey Price and the numbers explaining the true origin of the Habs struggles.
Take care.
Thanks, Jeff.
John Paul Morosi, national baseball writer and hockey writer for Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at John Morosi. All right, let's remind you again that we have the Blue Jays leadoff season's ticket holder fan forum tonight at 7 p.m. on sportsnet.ca. Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, John Gibbons, Kevin Pillar. Is Chris Colabello joining us, Travis? Is that confirmed? Travis is yapping to Morosi. They'll talk for another 10 minutes. They're talking about Carey Price right now. We may have Chris Colabello in another couple of minutes. We'll talk about the story yesterday, the Blue Jays announcing that there will be a dirt infield at the Rogers Center. Folks, I think that's all there is. I do not think you're going to have a grass field at the Rogers Center. I've never thought you're going to have a grass field at the Rogers Center. I've always thought the chances of a new ballpark are better than the chances of a grass field at the Rogers Center, but that's just me. This season's ticket holder function tonight, the leadoff, as it's being called, if you're going to it, I want to know what you're going to ask. And if you're not going to it, what questions would you ask, given the chance, of either Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, John Gibbons, and, if you want, Kevin Pillar? 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Let's go to Mark in Vaughan. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Mark?
How are you, Jeff? Pleasure to talk to you.
Good talking to you, Mark.
I think based on their roster right now, it's difficult to argue that they need much more than a fifth starter, depending on how they're going to go about finding that fifth starter. But aside from that, my point is, I would ask, if I had the opportunity, I would ask them, what's your plan on renovating and or retrofitting, or at least updating, I guess, use whatever adjective you want, the Skydome, the Rogers Center, because it, to me, it doesn't look like a ballpark. It doesn't feel like a ballpark. I know when it opened up decades ago, it was state-of-the-art, but it seems drawn, it seems old, it seems like it lacks character. I'm a proponent of grass, but at the same time, I'm not naive enough to know that, I'm not naive to know that it costs a lot of money, and it's not just as simple as, hey, let's lay some grass down and call it a day. I mean, the whole floor needs to be ripped out and all that jazz, and piping and drainage and all that stuff, so it's not as simple as that.
Well, yeah, that's a great point, and people need to realize that. That's why... take a look at the amount of work. Read the articles that on Sportsnet.ca, the amount of work that it's going to take to get the dirt infield done. now imagine what it would be like to get a grass field. Now, there's no drainage at the Rogers Center, first of all. I mean, there's none. So you would basically have to rip the whole thing up, get down to the bottom. I don't know what that, I'm not an architect. I'm not an engineer. I don't know what that would mean for structural issues, but here's where I stand on it. To me, a grass field is, it's a luxury. It's like a hood ornament for this place. I'm not saying that I wouldn't rather have a grass field than an artificial turf field. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know if it's cost effective. And I'll tell you what, I think there are a lot of other things that building needs besides a grass field. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. It's an old building, right? I for all we know, there's some important, you know, some important structural work that may need doing. I think there are things I would rather spend the money on than a grass field. I really do. And I always thought when Paul Beeston talked about the grass field last year that it was kind of a canard. By that, I mean it was, you know, let's give the fans something. Well, let's tell them that we're going to have a grass field. You know, and then we can spend some money at the University of Guelph to try to see if it works. I just never thought it was going to happen. I still don't think it's going to happen. Frankly, I would rather take the money and spend it on other things at the Rogers Center. But again, keep in mind you're talking to someone who spent a large part of his life working at Olympic Stadium. So I have seen hell. I have been to hell. And it ain't the Rogers Center. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Buenos dias. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, Eddie, what's up?
Well, I'm not going to be at the season ticket thing tonight, but I am going to watch it on sportsnet.ca. But,
attaboy.
I wanted to ask Shaparo if I was there. Do you, like, if he's comfortable, like, are you comfortable with where you are right now as far as the pitching staff goes, even though that the Red Sox and the Yankees have really, you know, upped the ante a little bit to make it a little harder for you guys to compete? Or do you think that there may be a little trick up your sleeve before spring training or after spring training?
Yeah,
that's
you know.
What I would ask him because the way I see it, Jeff, and I didn't mean to cut you off. But
no, that's fine.
I really believe for the Blue Jays this year, they're going to have to win their games, like, not just offensively, but also defensively and pitching, because you're going to be facing some teams that have, you know, something that you don't have, and I think you really have to kind of, like, step up your game just a little bit more, because you are now the hunted in your division instead of being the hunter. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, look, I mean, the first thing I imagine Mark Shapiro would say is, you know, we're not going to let the Yankees and Red Sox dictate what we have to do or what we can do. I mean, you can't. You know, they've got, they spend more money on payroll than the Jays do. It's that simple. They've got extreme resources committed to baseball. I mean, my understanding is that the Jays are still talking. I mean, I don't know if they're talking to Giovanni Gallardo. I would think they would at least be monitoring it. I still believe that the Jays are going to make a move, maybe not a major move, but I think they're still got one move ahead of spring training. And if it's up to me, you know, I would like a backup catcher, but my sense is there isn't a backup catcher on the horizon, that it's going to be Martin and Toley. And Toley's going to catch R.A. Dickey, and on those days, you're going to be thanking the good Lord for all that offense you have in the lineup. I just think that's the way it's going to go. It's going to be Toley with Dickey, and Russ Martin's going to catch the other 4 days. As for starting pitcher, I don't know. I need at this point I'm almost thinking to myself, I might as well see what Drew Hutchison, Jesse Chavez, Jay Happ give me. Let's see how Aaron Sanchez looks when we lengthen him. I'm almost at the point I'd rather do that than add a guy. And if Giovanni Gallardo wants to come on a one-year contract or a two-year contract with an opt-out and it's not going to cost me any money, great. But I've got to think at some point for a guy like Giovanni Gallardo, his approach is going to be, hey, you know what? I'm going to wait until somebody gets hurt in spring training. You know, he may be this year's Irvin Santana. Matter of fact, I would think he will be this year's Irvin Santana. The guy who doesn't sign until spring training is already underway. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to need a starting pitcher. And everybody thinks they can make the freaking playoffs because basically you can in baseball. So I think a guy like Giovanni Gallardo at this point might be saying, unless somebody blows me away, I'm going to wait and pick my spots. Billy and Markham, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Billy.
Listen, just those last four names you mentioned, if we got to see how those guys shake out, that's three-fifths of our rotation. We're in trouble.
I don't know. How are you in trouble? What if – well, I mean, you know, it's funny. I spoke to a guy at the Jays yesterday, and I said, yeah. just out of interest's sake, Drew Hutchison, do you guys get any calls on him? See, they said, we get calls on Drew Hutchison more than any other pitcher, other than Stroman. Of course, everybody's calling for Stroman, and nobody's offering you anything. I think we're a little guilty of kind of throwing Drew Hutchison in the garbage can, if you want to know the truth.
Well, I disagree, Jeff, because I like Drew Hutchison. You didn't know. I think that's not two years ago. Drew Hutchison was a starting pitcher. I like Drew Hutchison. I don't have a problem. It's the rest of the guys that we have. I still don't think Bob Stroman's established.
Billy, you're breaking up. Try to get back. Try to get back with us. But you were breaking up real badly. Tom in Waterloo, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff.
How are you?
I would love an honest opinion on Devin Travis.
Okay.
Where is he? Like, you know, I've heard all the stories. You've read it and I've read it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could get an honest opinion from the boys in the seats on where he is and what exactly is going on with that kid.
Well, everything, we hear the same things you hear. May.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, anytime, I guess the tip off for me is that anytime you ask anybody with the Blue Jays, what are you guys going to do with the leadoff spot? The conversation goes, well, you know, when Travis comes back, that may address itself. That's the only thing that suggests to me that they really, that what we're seeing is what we're getting.
But again, that's guessing, isn't it?
We haven't really
heard anything from them, have we?
No. That's very true. And you know, until you see Devin, and thanks for the call, Tom, until you see Devin Travis down in the field in the uniform, there's always going to be those doubts. But again, right now, every time you talk about the leadoff spot, Devin Travis's name comes up. Glenn in North York, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How you doing today?
Good, good.
My point is, I believe Baltimore signed Chris Davis for 7 years, but the money was stretched over till he was 50, 51, 52 years old.
Yeah.
So, which is creative. So why are the Jays not signing top free agents and doing something similar as an example? And I know Price might not be everybody's cup of tea, but they could have done something similar. He would have been 37, 38, end his career and still being paid until he's 45 or 50.
You know why?
Why?
I don't think most free agents would take that. Most free agents don't want that. You got to remember, Chris Davis re-signed. I mean, he signed in the city that he now lives, where his family lives. He re-upped with the team. Most free agents aren't going to defer all that money. They're just not. And that's the thing to remember when you're dealing with free agents. It's they decide, right? It's not just a matter like people call up and say, well, why didn't the Jays throw that money at the guy? Well, the guy didn't want to come here. You know what I'm saying? Like the deferred money thing made sense for Chris Davis. I'm not certain it makes sense for every free agent. It wouldn't to me if I was a free agent. I don't want the money deferred. And the other thing to keep in mind, Glenn, is that the Players Association exercises an awful lot of influence and an awful lot of pressure in agents. The Players Association doesn't like deferred money. Players Association likes money up front. Most players like the money up front. So,
is there no rule against doing this stuff?
No, you can do whatever you want. You know, I mean, God, what did Russ Martin make last year? Technically, he made, what, like $2 million or something like that? And then
yeah,
it goes
I
up to...
I just don't hear this very often. It's the first time I've heard a team actually doing this.
No, it's been done before. But again, the point is, it doesn't work for every player. I mean, Chris Davis is happy with Baltimore, right? He likes the city, likes the team. He's comfortable there. you know, they supported him during his suspension, yada, yada, yada. He's getting good money and he's getting it deferred. But not everybody feels that way. Gary and Thornhill, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And not to say that it isn't a creative. I agree with you. It is a creative approach. Gary and Thornhill, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Good, good.
Just want to say I really enjoy your insight into baseball.
Thank you.
My main concern is the backup catcher. Are there no free agents out there, or they thought about a trade? What's your opinion?
Well, I don't think they want to trade for a backup catcher, considering the backup catcher, basically he's going to be backing up Josh Tolley too, right? Because Josh Tolley is going to be, let's just say this, Josh Tolley's catching R.A. Dickey this year. Yeah, that's done. So you're trading for a guy who may make one start every five times. Probably won't. So you're not going to trade for that guy. I mean, there are free agents out there, guys like Tony Sanchez. I guess if they'll sign for nothing. But so far, those guys aren't signing for nothing. I'm with you, though. I mean, I don't like the looks of the Jays behind the plate right now. I think we just have to accept that R.A. Dickey and Josh Tolley are going to be a tandem for one more year and work from there. I kind of thought the Jays would be adding another catcher. Now I'm not so certain. I think this may be that what you see in spring training may be what you get, and that they're going to start the year with two catchers, and it's going to be Josh Tolley and Ross Atkins is the GM. The Blue Jays, as we mentioned, announced yesterday that they will be putting a dirt infield down. It's going to be very much like the Tampa Bay Rays stadium. So you're going to have an artificial turf. It's going to be an artificial turf surface with a dirt infield. What is that going to mean for the guys who play on it? Chris Colabello was one of the real good stories this year for the Toronto Blue Jays at first base. He's going to join us. We're going to talk to him about the difference between turf and dirt. And I'm going to ask Chris this. I thought the turf became a bit of a home field advantage last year. Could the Jays be taking away some of their home field advantage? Chris Colabello joins us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on the home of the Blue Jays. Yeah, it's time to start saying that, I think. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I get an email from my daughter, a text. Her teacher wants my email address. It's probably not certain that's a text you want to get at work. Anyhow, come back to the Jeff Blair Show. Ray Ratto will join us at 11 o'clock. He is the senior insider. I got to get a title like that. Senior insider for CSN Bay Area. He'll tell us something funny about the Super Bowl. And guess what? Kevin Barker's going to join us at 11:15. Baseball Central co-host Kevin Barker. I have no idea why I didn't book him. Travis wants to get him on. We'll find something to talk about. Maybe we'll get his Bundesliga picks. Eric Smith, our Raptors radio voice on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. He'll be along at 11:35. The Raptors in Portland tonight as they continue their road swing. The Blue Jays making news yesterday, as both Stephen Brunt and I told you about a month and a half ago, and we've talked about it often, the team will be putting down a dirt infield surface at the Rogers Center. The
surface itself. The field will remain artificial turf, but there will be a dirt infield, much as you see in Tampa, as opposed to just simply the dirt sliding pits that were around first, second, third base in the past. You know, I think this is a compromise. I was one of those people who never thought we'd see and never and still don't think we'll ever see a natural grass field at the Rogers Center. That aside, I'm really interested in how this surface is going to affect the guys who play on it. I mean, the conventional wisdom is it's going to be better on the legs because you're standing in dirt. But I kind of thought last year that in some ways the Jays' turf, the slow turf, turned into a bit of a home field advantage. I mean, I would certainly think that Texas Rangers felt that way. So instead of just talking about it, we thought we'd go to somebody who's going to have to play in the surface and have to catch the balls when they bounce off the lip of the artificial turf and the dirt. And, well, Chris Colabello is the perfect guy to do it. And Chris Colabello joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Hello, hello.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are you looking forward to a dirt infield? Is it going to make any difference?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's conceptually it's a good plan. I certainly didn't mind it the way it was, and I guess out of everybody, I'm probably the right guy to ask and the wrong guy to ask at the same time.
Okay.
Because at first base, like picking the ball, I think it'll be incredibly helpful for that. Just because when the ball's getting thrown over to first, and you know, say somebody spikes it, and you know, you don't know whether you're going to get the hop off the turf or the dirt if it's in that like kind of borderline range. So for that purpose, I think it'll be great. You know, in terms of other stuff, like you know how it's going to feel on my legs and how the ball's going to roll. I think there's going to be more hits in it now, which is nice for the hitters, I guess. I don't think it's as nice for the pitchers. I don't think they'll be as happy. But, you know, we'll have to see how it plays. I think it's kind of uncharted water for all of us. So, but I think old lore has it that turf's not good for your legs. I don't really know the difference. Like, I can't tell. That's why I think I'm the wrong guy to ask in every facet. Like, you could tell me to go play on hot coals, and I think I'd be like, oh, it's fine. It's good, you know.
It's funny, though. I mean, one of the reasons we wanted to get a player on to talk about it is, I kind of thought it got into, you know, some teams' heads last year. I mean, I remember I usually go into the visiting manager's office for pre-game interviews, the first game of a homestand. And Chris, every manager, I mean, Kevin Cash talked about it before every game. Oh, the turf, it's slow. It's got funny bounces. You know, I almost thought it became kind of it gave you guys a bit of a home field edge. Did you get that sense at all just from talking to guys in other teams that they would talk about it? And I can't get a read in this thing, and it's so slow.
Yeah, I think it spins weird. The length of the turf itself is different than any other surface. So, you know, you look at Tampa, and that's their turf's very, very short. It's kind of rolls like more like a rug, I guess. And I think just the length of the strands of fake grass are, they're so long that it makes for a completely different spin on the ball when it lands, and a completely different set of circumstances. Like, for me particularly, I remember the ball in game two that the Shields hit, I had to dive back the other way.
Right. And,
you know, had that happened on normal grass or normal turf, on not as bouncy of a surface, I guess it would have been, it wouldn't have had so much English on it. But it's certainly, I think the fact that we were able to play on it more allows us to get more accustomed to it. But, you know, I don't know that cutting out around just, you know, the infield part should change too much.
Right.
In terms of, because those initial bounces, those initial, like the initial time the ball hits the ground and starts rolling, will still be, you know, on the regular turf. So
it'll still be nice, in front of you, won't it? It'll still be in front of you, basically.
Yeah. I think for sure that the biggest thing for me, like I said, was is the what the ball's going to do at the cutout. So I guess if, you know, if JD's going to his backhand at third or Tulor Gogo or going up the middle to feel the ball, like the differences in the bounce off the turf to the dirt is what really has the biggest impact to me. So I think now that'll play a little bit truer because the ball will just get to dirt more often. You know what I mean?
Conversation with Chris Colabello on the Jeff Blair Show. Chris, we're getting awfully close to spring training. I'll just ask you a simple question. How much are you looking forward to spring training, and are you ready to go?
You mean to tell me we haven't started yet? I'm like on my way to the complex right now.
All right. How long have you been there?
Already.
How long have you been there?
When did I get to Florida?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I moved down here like December 10th.
Okay.
I'm in Tampa, so I've been shooting over to Dunedin quite a bit. Baseball is a 12-month a year thing, and I know this might sound crazy or whatever, but I was really ready to play as soon as we got finished.
it doesn't sound crazy. I was ready to watch again as soon as it was done.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially this year, I finished the place. I finished the year in a place where, I was healthy. My body felt good. There were just a lot of things telling me like, hey, you could go play right now if you really wanted to. So, and obviously the way it ended, I think we all would have liked to have ended it a little different way. But I think to a man, you could go around and, there's a bunch of guys down here right now, Kevin and I and Gogo, and we talk, you know, every day about wanting to do it again. And once you experience what we did last year, and obviously it was the first time for me, and I'm still relatively new to the big leagues, but I don't think you ever want to experience anything else. So, obviously we're going to have to put in the grind of 162, but certainly I think we all have aspirations to get back to where we were. And it was just as much fun as I ever had playing from the first day I was up there to the last one. And I want to do it again.
Good stuff as always, Chris. Listen, we'll look forward to seeing you down in Florida. Stay healthy, and thanks for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you. And also thank you for prompting me with Return of the Mac.
You heard it.
I'm ready to hit now. Yeah, I'm ready to go hit now.
Awesome. So that's our technical director, Derek Brandeo, who pulled it out. There you go.
Well done, sir.
All righty.
Give him a pat on the back for me.
I will do that.
Take care, guys.
Take care. It's Chris Colabello, CC Rake 20. Return of the Mac, of course, Chris Colabello's song. And we greeted him. That's good. See? Nicely done. Leicester City's own Mark Morrison, indeed. Ray Ratto is a senior insider for CSN Bay Area, and a very funny man, covering the Super Bowl, a very funny event. He is going to join us. We'll get his take on the Super Bowl. We'll ask him where the story is kind of disturbing, and there's always one of these during the Super Bowl, but essentially the city of San Francisco is hidden its homeless people. We'll talk to Ratto about that, and, I mean, the usual nonsense that's associated with the Super Bowl as well. And then big, big treat for those of you at 11:15, back by popular demand, Kevin Barker, who'll be our Baseball Central co-host this year. He'll be back. He'll join us at 11:15. We'll get his take. I mean, Kevin played some first base. We'll talk to him about the switch to the dirt infield at the Rogers Center. So we'll have some Super Bowl talk ahead, a little baseball talk, and then Eric Smith will round it out. He is our Raptors radio voice and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. He'll join us. It's a Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.